All right, we are back. Tangy Talks, episode 20. One away from the goal of 21, man. We're chugging along.
Chugging along. 20. That's a feat right there.
Yeah, just getting to 20, man. Like 20 of these. It's really good. That means we've got 10 hours of knowledge we've been sharing with people on the interwebs.
That's incredible. And we were just chatting that we're starting to get some views. We're starting to get some likes.
Yeah, man.
I loved hearing that. That's exciting that to hear that, we're bringing some value to the listener. So that was really awesome.
I love it. We've got a lot of views on YouTube. So right now you can watch our YouTube shorts. You can watch the whole episode. If you're listening to this in your car right now, you can come see our faces and our expressions. We may even do some lives coming up again soon. So you can ask your questions live. Make sure to head on over to YouTube and subscribe if you haven't. We got a lot of fun stuff that we share on YouTube shorts after every single episode. And we might be starting a TikTok one as well today. So I think that might actually perform pretty well.
There you go. We're getting younger, right? We're getting younger. Steve.
You haven't been on TikTok. I've been on TikTok for 4 years when I was Musical.ly. You got to catch up, dude. And you're
I got to catch up. I'm still on the MySpace days.
Yeah, this guy's got his Facebook profile from 17 years ago. But we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. We have a lot going on in our world, but I do want to first welcome our newest hire. We just hired someone. Why don't you do the intro, Victor, since you did 25 or 30 interviews and we selected our new operations manager. Tell us about, why don't we talk about that process? What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, you've been a part of it. I mean, you've hired and been a part of hiring managers and upper level management teams. And it's not easy, right? It's a lot of conversation. It's a lot of questions and understanding and where they are right now personally in their lives and their experience and obviously where they want to go. So a cool thing is now we have set questions built out from our core values that we basically build them out and ensure that's somebody or who we're bringing onto the team mesh with our values, our team, and we want what we want to do, what our future is. So 25 candidates. We came down to Santiago Nieto. Shout out Santiago if you're listening to us, which we're super happy and excited about. He completed his first week of our onboarding, getting to know our properties, getting to know our team. I always love that time just because it's so fresh, right? And it's kind of like whoever comes in, you have the new opportunity, the new possibility of kind of molding and training and ensuring, the expectations of what you want it to be and what you want the company to run like. So I think that's super fun. What do you think?
I loved it. I think we went through, we had very specific things we looked for. We're looking for hotel luxury background, which is always challenging. Right. And we found someone that has 20 plus years of luxury hotel background. And we're lucky enough that they want to join our company that we're trying to grow. And it's very different coming from a luxury hotel, coming into a company that's a small business, but knowing that you can have a big impact, right? So I know it's definitely an adjustment. If you're listening, Santiago, we know we all adjusted, but we're excited to have you on board. But, this wasn't one of our topics, but I think it's really key as you're growing your company. If this is what you want to do professionally, make sure you're aligning with the right people for the right seat and understand that those people can fit those jobs, because we've had some great people come through, but maybe they just weren't the right person or it wasn't the right seat. Maybe it just wasn't the right time for some of them.
Right. Yeah. We interviewed, we sat down with so many people and we interviewed so many great people with experience in short-term and hospitality background. Funny story yesterday, Santiago we're putting together our introduction to our owners for Santiago. And we wanted him to kind of list out the hotels and he was listing out at every hotel. And I kind of forgot. I'm like, wow, like you are Fountain Blue, I'm like, you could just name them.
Turnberry, so, yeah, a ton of them. Yeah. Lowe's, yeah.
It's incredible. So I was like, what a great addition. Our owners, are going to feel like, wow, okay, we got that hospitality blood in Tangy Management and our management. So I'm excited. And I think we have a lot of exciting things. And I don't think there's really a ceiling for Santiago and for what our company could do. So I'm excited.
I love it. So we've got some other fun things going on, but we had an interesting week since we were last on the podcast. And I think the first topic we want to talk about here is navigating condo hotels for short-term rental and your vacation rental needs. And so maybe I'll set this up and then we can talk about it. right? So we had a client we've been working with for, what'd you say, 6 months, most likely?
For some time, yeah. Six, seven months.
Yeah, so we'll set this up. So client that has been working with us for 6 months and wanted to buy, we won't name the building, but wanted to buy in a condo hotel in downtown Miami. And there's like 8,600 new units. We've talked about this a lot, that are all Airbnb friendly, short-term rental friendly. This one happens to be in a condo hotel, when the hotel, of course, wants to have as many units in their hotel program. The building happens to be developed by the people who also own this hotel. So if you do enough research, you'll find that.
I was going to say, I think we could piece the puzzles here.
But we're not going to say anything. There's a couple of them out there like that.
Right.
This client of ours, who is very nice, out from another country in South America, investing their money into this building because they had a dream of creating their own short-term rental, vacation rental company, you know, potentially invest in others. They hired us to lead them. And Victor, you asked them, you told them, make sure to ask, what are the rules that we're able to do at this place? Are we allowed to outside manage? What are going to be some of the challenges? Because we've learned hotels create challenges, right? Because they want people in their hotel pool. They don't want to compete against other property managers.
Of course, makes total sense.
Right. They were told, no, everything's great by the developer, by the sales team of the developer and the realtor, all saying the same thing. We got to go to the closing with our client. Very exciting. Got to tour the property. Got to see that for the first time because brand new. It just developed. So they're seeing it in real life for the first time, not a rendering. A lot of excitement. Right. All right. We sign off, head downstairs to do orientation for the building and to learn how we could all work together. And as soon as we get in there, I can still feel the vibe in that room. The property manager, which only runs the public areas, so the pool deck, gym, hallways, not the rental program, had to deliver the tough news that currently only the hotel has the lodging license to allow for people to stay in the building as guests. All the other people that have a dream of renting out on Airbnb and VRBO and all the other platforms, there's no license right now. And they don't know when a license will come. And also, the property managers have to put a $10,000 deposit down to walk around the building. But even if we did put $10,000, which we were willing to do, they don't know when we're allowed to actually rent. And so our client, out of frustration, started to tear up because all their dreams started crumbling within 30 seconds. And we advised them to join the hotel pool right away to start earning money. Let us know if they want us to fight with them legally, but get in first, make as much noise as you can. But I think that is a good story to warn everybody. What was your take, Victor, after I've set that up for everybody?
Yeah, it was a great setup, Steve. And I mean, that was to the point and straight to it. And it happened last Friday. And that was, yeah, I mean, if there was a fly, if you were a fly in the room, you could have seen everybody's just faces completely changed, right? It was not the same exciting as we were going through the building and looking at the brand new unit and going through on, you know, kind of envisioning ourselves managing the property and our guest experience. What a great time. The owner was excited. We were excited. I was holding the manual or the handbook for the building in my hands that the owner gave to me. So as you can imagine, you know, all that buildup to then get this news. Which again, you know, and no fault, I feel bad for the management company because they're delivering this message, right? And they're on the forefront, and I'm sure we're not the only ones that they're delivering that message, you know, so I felt bad for them. I felt bad for the owner, you know, the realtor, that we're all kind of just sideswiped with this news. So it's tough, you know, we've learned, and that's why we asked that first question. I mean, we get leads for condos all the time. And my first question before we get into it is, you know, what are the requirements for the building, because we've seen it time and time again, like you mentioned, you know, these hotel condos smartly enough make it challenging for management companies, outside management companies, to come in. So, you know, I think we've used the term before. It's a little gangster, you know.
Look, if we were the hotel, that's what we told our clients. If I was a hotel, I'm going to do the same thing, right? I don't want you renting outside of my hotel pool, so I'm going to make it as difficult as possible.
Exactly. But I think our point here and what we're trying to prove is, you know, make it straightforward, make it visible and, you know, put it on the forefront. So the owners who are doing, you know, their due diligence, because on the owner side, you know, they did a lot of work. They interviewed several management companies. They did all of this work ahead of time to just be, you know, kind of given this news. So kind of goes to show, you know, just make sure you're asking all the questions. If you're an investor coming outside, and we talk about it time and time again, especially coming into these buildings, you want to make sure you're asking the right questions. You want to make sure that you're getting led by the, you know, the right team, and assisted. And even when you do all of that, even when you have a great realtor, even when you have a great management companies and all these people around you helping you, you get crushed with some news like that. So just comes to show you, right, what we're facing with daily, and why we keep kind of talking about it in this podcast, right?
Yeah. So let's set this up, because I'm sure this will be a clip that we put out there. What are maybe like three questions that someone investing in a condo, hotel, or short-term rental building should ask?
I love it. Yeah. So first one, definitely, you know, how the management and the rental program works. You know, what is offered by the actual management company of the hotel. And then what can an outside management company, you know, offer as well? You know, what are those the differentiators? For this specific situation, the owner decided to go with us, an outside management company, because we get the value is in providing a little bit more of a personalized touch. So I would start with there. Secondly, I would 100% right away ask, what are the requirements for outside management companies? You know, they may say that there might not be any at the moment, or they're working through the kinks, but, you know, don't make a decision until you have that information, especially if you're thinking of going outside with an outside management company. And then the third one, I'm thinking, you know, operatively, you know, what you know, your guests are going to have to be doing as far as like what the check-in experience is going to be like when you have an outside management company, you know, hiring. Is it going to be through the same front desk? Do the management company have to provide any sort of documentation? Are the guests going to be required to provide any certain documentation? Because you want that process to be seamless, right? So if it's a challenge for the guest, you know, that can hinder the experience, and you don't want that. So I think those are my top three. I don't know if I'm missing any or you could think of.
No, I think it's good. I think the next one just to ask is, who has the lodging license, right? And how are we able to get it? Because that was something new for us, right? It's a brand new development, brand new opening. People are closing on their places and had the dream of doing it and cannot.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for the realtor too, right? Because our realtor, you know, that we were friendly with, didn't know, because she's just making sure she tells their clients what she's being told by the developer and the sales team.
Exactly.
And so for me, man, I feel bad for that owner. And I know for sure they're going to be looking who the developer is on the next buildings, because they won't be investing in there, and they have money to invest.
So agree. And I have to note, Steve, I mean, you handled that graciously. I was still kind of picking up my jaw as we were getting those news. And you were basically there as like a warm blanket, I have to say, to make the owner feel right, and feel okay about, you know, the whole situation, letting her know, hey, we're still here. We're not going anywhere. You know, you just bought a property. Go with the management company. Don't let it sit there. Because I said, it could be up to a year. You know, generate your income, generate your revenue. A year comes in, the license comes in, give us a call back. We're going to be available. And it, you know, left the owner with a great taste in her mouth. We got beautiful messages from both the realtors and the owner, you know, giving their take and letting us know, you know, how well it was taken, and how well, you know, the message was sent to us from us to them. So I think that was something to note. And on your part, Steve.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I think when I saw the tears started coming out of her eyes was when I was like, listen, it's okay. You'll be all right. Go make your money, and you'll figure out. In worst case, you sell it. You've made your money, and you buy something else that we can manage for you.
Yeah, right? I think your hotel training kicked in there, and you saw the face.
The empathy. I had the empathy.
There you go.
What is it? what we always say: listen, empathize, and act. There's a bunch of different ones like that. Now we've got some other stuff coming in, right? Last show we talked about losing a property. This time we're talking about adding properties. We've got some properties that we're adding, and we're seeing a couple things here where we have property owners come in and to empty homes, and they got to furnish their properties.
Yeah.
And I think that has been a challenge for many companies that are doing this. I'm excited because I have a phone call with a designer later today that I think actually will help us in creating something I've dreamed about happening, which is creating some packages that owners can pick from, like, here it is, and be able to finance those things as well, right? Because it's expensive to furnish a home, and people don't realize it. So let's tell you like this. What are, you know, starting from scratch, when you walk in and you're meeting an owner that's an empty house, what are some things you advise?
Yeah, and you know, Steve, on your point, in a perfect world, right, we have that furniture sitting in a storage waiting for that owner to come in and, you know, be ready for us. But that's not always the case, right? You got to think about the storage, you know, purchasing it, storing it. It's a lot of stuff. It takes a bit. And again, we're in that we're doing our business model based on a percentage, you know, not necessarily that we're taking over on a different model on the I'm forgetting the name over here on the of the model where you rent the property itself.
Arbitrage. Yeah, we're not taking it over ourselves and furnishing it ourselves. No, we're helping individual owners.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, it's difficult. And I think, you know, when we talk about this, and how we see it in our brain and how we envision it is, like you mentioned, having already set packages. These packages have a dollar value to it, from, you know, luxe all the way down to, you know, entry level. So it can work with all different types of budget, because we want to come in and you know, express to the owner that we understand it's a big investment. Mm-hmm. This is a big investment. And when you want to put your furniture in, we always talk about is, you know, we don't want IKEA furniture. We want, because you're going to get IKEA prices. So we want to level it up. We want to stand out from other competitors. So that's a big investment to the owner. So they have to weigh, you know, their pros and cons. So we want to guide them. We want to help them. But, you know, we don't want to get to the point that the owner says, you know, because of the money, I'm going to go ahead and do it ourselves. And we've seen it time and time again that it's a difficult process, right? And it gets frustrating from an owner standpoint. And we want to help and we want to get involved as much as we can. But obviously, you know, the dollar, especially at the entry when you're just starting out, that's a big investment, right?
Yeah, and I don't think people realize what it is. It's not just furniture. All right, you have the furniture, but hey, you also have a kitchen you got to make sure it has enough equipment to cook in, and a blender and a toaster and a coffee maker and enough wine glasses and coffee mugs and bowls. And you go on and on and on. Oh, you have a pool? Well, you need pool towels. You need pool chairs. You need an outdoor table. You need some amenities to go in there. Not the amenities that we provide, like shampoo and soap and coffee. Like, we provide some nice things. Is there any games in the backyard? Is there board games you want to add? You know, these are all things that are part of that startup cost that a lot of people don't realize they need.
Exactly.
You know, I've dabbled in the past. You remember we tried with the amenity company, right? Yep. But that was just like an overlay on Amazon. Mm-hmm. But I think now this is my big project for this quarter. I'm going to add it as a rock because I think it will be helpful. And when I say a rock, we use the EOS Entrepreneurial Operating System to work our team. So we have rocks for every quarter. Is finally have a package that we can give to our guests. And it'll just make life way easier, because we're seeing it now with someone that's a great owner that we're excited to work with, but, you know, has a hard time. Like, is this going to be right? Is that going to be right? Is this going to be right? Is this going to be right? Or is this wrong? I don't want to make a wrong decision. So I think we'll have some packages very soon, because I haven't seen anyone do it right. There's a lot of companies out there that are trying to do it, but they're not easy. Like, I just signed up for one that I told you about. I'm not going to mention their name. But it was hard. It was not easy to use. Like, you still had to go to other people's websites. I still had to go to like a Crate and Barrel and a Pottery Barn and these other places and order from there and put in a code and get a discount. It wasn't packaged easily.
Exactly.
We're going to find a solution. I'm on it. And so I think a couple calls will make it. This has been something I've been talking about for a long time, because back in the old days, I used this as Holiday Inn because I didn't know this. So back, I think it was in Memphis. So Holiday Inn 1960s. You wanted to build a Holiday Inn. They figured you come to our factory, our warehouse. We're going to walk you through three different rooms. You choose what you want the room to look like. Do you want this style, this style, or this style? Great. You got this style. Now we're going to go into the bed and linens. Which ones do you want? You have three options. Great. Which TV do you want? Boom. So when you got out of that warehouse, you already had what your hotel room was going to look like, what the public area was going to look like, what the front desk was going to look like, because you only had three options. And that's how they standardized the Holiday Inn back in the 60s, because back in the day, it was just mom and pop, you know, motels everywhere. So this was why it was such like a revolutionary thing, which then made it annoying in the 80s and 90s because everything looked the same. That's when all like, the cool hotels started popping back up.
That's what I wanted to bring up too. Make sure it's things don't.
That's why people go to IKEA, right? Because everything's in one place. But we want to do it to where you still have some commercial grade stuff, things that are going to last. And like I said, IKEA is good. They've got some nice things, but it's not for every single piece in the house. Exactly. Right? We don't want that. Yeah. So anyhow, we're looking at it. So what are some things maybe we can do to make it easier? How can we make it easier for people? We got packages. until we get packages, what do we tell them to look for?
Right. So, you know, like you mentioned, we have a built out checklist of items that, you know, the house requires. And as you can imagine, this checklist is extensive. So we help the owners and guide them as much as possible. But like I had mentioned before, you know, we want to stand out. We want to create an environment for the guests that they feel comfortable. But at the same time, we know things are durable and the wear and tear is not going to be as much because, you know, these are, like you mentioned, hotel grade furniture. So it's also something, you know, to think about is the ease of being able to replace this furniture, right? So if things gets broken, how easy can it be for you to go back and, you know, order the same thing? So that's another, you know, little step to think about. But you know, there's also that decorative piece, right? The part where you have to actually put artwork, the decoration, the knickknacks. And I think to your point, that's where you were going as far as like where IKEA would be, you know, something that could help with that, or Hobby Lobby or things of that nature. But again, that's more work. If you could go into a place that's one-stop shop and you could just pick out your style, they have several options, and just go from that list, I think it'll be great. And if some other companies are out there, furniture companies are listening, you know, maybe this could be something that you brainstorm with the team, because there is a big, basically a big gap, right? Like a
need. There's a need for it.
Very need, very needed. So specifically for the short-term rental. And again, it's always one of our first challenges when we sign up a new property, and it's the furniture, and we've done it time and time again. And it's not an easy process, but we would love to streamline that process, you know, for the sake of the owner, for the sake of our management company, and also the furniture company.
Yeah, because I can hear people saying it who are listening, well, there's companies that do it for hotels. Yes, exactly. They do, but they take 12 to 16 weeks to get the furniture in. And a lot of times we get a home that hasn't planned ahead and they come to us and they want to be listed right away. We don't have 3 months to 4 months to get furniture in, right? Great. So point. We have looked at that option, but it takes a lot longer, right? We were going to do it for a couple of places, and most of those furniture pieces are custom built for rooms. So when you do a hotel furniture package, they come out, they measure, they customize the furniture for that room because it's going to be in there for 8 to 10 years a lot of times. At commercial grade. So I hear you. I already heard people saying companies do that. I know, but we got to find this in between where we can get it in 14 days, you know, 20 days, because where there is no time to wait. Time is money with the owners of these properties.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, in another perfect world, the owner is building the property. It's not, you know, done yet. And that process is getting done before even the property is basically up and running. So in a hotel, you know, they shut down the entire property to get this project done. They do it in phases, or while they're renovating, they're already doing that ahead of time. So they coordinate, you know, the opening of the hotel perfectly while it's furnished and ready to go. We don't have that luxury sometimes in these homes that are basically ready to go. It just needs to get furnished, and owners can't wait 2, 3, 4 months because mortgage doesn't stop. So that's something definitely to think about.
It is true. And we're doing a hotel right now in Miami Beach, and they're going to take a year to get everything right. And it is closed down. So
incredible.
Furniture. We're going to figure this out.
You've been a part of a couple of openings, right, Steve? I did the Trump National Doral when they Trump brought over Doral. And yes. It was a process.
And it's hard. And I had a huge team, and I still had to carry things off of trucks because trucks would just show up. You're like, we're here just to deliver. We don't take things off. I remember that
We had coordinated pretty seamless, I feel. I mean, and still, you know, obviously things don't happen well, but it's we set it up in phases, right? Like the big furniture is first, then the small like knickknacks and things of that nature, and then all the linens. So there's phases, which I felt was very coordinated, but still, just like you said, they would just show up and drop off furniture, and we're like, what the heck is going on?
700 rooms.
Crazy.
But still, but people are like, oh, that's only one house. Yeah, but each house has 4 bedrooms, 5 bedrooms, right? Mm-hmm. So let's see what happens there. But some exciting news, right, is we've talked about losing a property. We're talking about gaining properties and the challenge of working sometimes with owners who can't make the decisions. We're venturing into new territory for Tangy here. And we have invested and now purchased our first property in... I'll look at the city. We won't give the exact area. In Charleston, South Carolina area, a legal place to do vacation rentals, because we're always looking to do that. But okay. Victor, why don't we talk about this, because this has been your project and your baby. Why don't you give us the highlights of how we're coming to invest and own our own place?
Exactly. Exactly. And a big banner should fly right over our head, and it should say control our own destiny. Right. And that's where our focus and our mindset was when we were looking into all of this, because we had a lot of options, right? We had a lot of options. We knew we wanted to control our own destiny. We knew we wanted to start a project that was our vision, you know, and everything that we talk about in this podcast, we can actually put and set into motion with our, you know, with basically with our lead. So I was really excited. This is something that we,
there it is. I got the banner.
If you're listening, Steve just got it right now. There's it's right there. Control our destiny.
Mm-hmm. So I got it.
But yeah, it took extensive work, you know, obviously looking for the right place and what we talk about, you know, making sure that we're getting in to a property that, you know, has value. We always think about the worst case scenario, which is a good thing. You know, God forbid the city changes their, you know, their codes or their enforcement. Can we put that property as a, you know, a long term, or can we sell that property for a profit? So that took some time making sure and seeing, you know, what the right location. I've been to Charleston many times, and I love it there. It's, you know, you go into all of the reports and which are one of the best cities to travel, et cetera. Charleston, we always see it on top of the list. It's still a growing city. So the property value there is still very good. It's not here Miami prices that, you know, you're getting a 3 to 5,000 square foot land for almost up to $3 million. So very, very different market, very different value there. And I'm excited. It's can we share some details about the property? Like,
yeah, we could tell you what it is. I wouldn't give the exact address, but what we invested in and why.
Yeah. So it's a beautiful 3-2 home on 1.2 acre land. So a lot of, you know, area, beautiful backyard. The entrance is like, you know, very kind of, you know, Americana, you know, meets family. So very like a lot of the bricks and the entrance with the American flag hanging in the front. You go in, it's an open concept. We got the chimney right there. The kitchen is right next to the living room. So you're preparing dinner, having a good time with your family, and you could just all be together. Has 3 bedrooms on one side, and then it has a little small den that we're thinking of making it into a bedroom so we can have as many people there. And I think the value and where kind of like the marketing focal point is going to be that backyard, right? We're talking about so many things that we can do. It does not have a pool, but it does have room for a pool, or it does have room for a little jacuzzi or above ground pool. It also has room for a little putt-putt area. So we're thinking about that experience. And one of the processes in looking at this property, or in, you know, making the decision to get to this property, is we looked at the competitors and we saw, wow, like there's big opportunity here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of competitors here not doing it the right way. So we saw that there is, you know, that avenue, and we're taking it. I'm proud of us because it's been a lot of work. I forgot how much work it takes to purchase a property. But it's all been fun and exciting. It's all part of the process.
Yeah. If this works, we say we continue to stamp this out in different places. And if you're asking, well, how come you're doing it in South Carolina? Well, we already manage a couple properties there for other people. And so we have some boots on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. So we have housekeeper, we have handyman, we have people we trust in that market.
Great point.
And we like how it performs. And so we're in, you know, we're in. We talked about this. This was part of the quarter plan here, and we're in. So now we got to make it work. Which I know we will, and I'm excited. So very soon, we've invested a lot this year. We've got our tangy van. We've got our new free agent signing in Santiago. We're investing in a property. We got a brand new website coming out. We got a lot of fun stuff going on, adding new properties, shedding the ones that we don't need anymore that weren't the right fit, which I talked about on LinkedIn the other day, like having the right property with the right partners.
So important.
And so I think that it's been a great couple of months. Some challenges for sure, which you're always going to have, but always looking for the positive things, right? It's the hard part of business.
I love it. And you know, listeners who heard our previous podcast, you know, we'll talk about the not so great and the grimy, but you know, there are some wins and that we're excited about, and we have a lot of stuff to look forward to, and the team has to look forward to. So we're excited that we get to share this information.
Yep, I love it. So a quick recap of today, man, we flew through this already. If you're getting into condo hotels, make sure to check for the red flags, ask the questions. Mm-hmm. Victor gave you some questions to ask that are really good. When furnishing a place, make sure to think of everything you need to furnish. And if you're having some questions about it, let us know. We can give you that list for free. You can download it, I think, on our website for free. We have it as a blog. We can share.
Exactly.
And then third, listen, we're excited. Once this property gets up and running, you can stay with us. We will share the link and more details about that property. So when you go to the Charleston area, you could stay with your tangy team over here. But if you haven't, as always, if you found any value in this, make sure to share this episode with somebody in the industry, or maybe they are about to invest in a condo hotel, or they want to buy properties, or just have questions about short-term or vacation rentals, please let us know. And anything you want to add, Victor, before we sign off?
I think you covered it all. Happy Friday, Steve. Another great episode, episode 20. Can't wait to do 30 with you.
Yeah, it's coming up. We'll see you soon.